Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. Hope everyone's great. How are you guys?
Great. I think. Yeah, we are recording this shortly after our last week's episode. We recorded it, so in the past 30 minutes, nothing has changed.
We haven't changed clothes.
We haven't changed.
Remember when we used to like change?
Yeah,
really, you did.
We were recording back to back episodes. We'd bring a change of clothes, and nothing. We were just like, yeah, that's fine.
Just over.
We wanted to give the illusion.
Yeah,
you know, that
it is what it is, guys.
We're not recording this 8 days before it drops.
Yeah,
that's funny.
And now it just is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's okay. New topic.
You should just be grateful we're giving you episodes of Boggy Talk.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this
we're
week.
We're grateful for our sponsors.
Yes, thank you, all of them.
All of our 12 sponsors. Two sponsors.
We don't have any sponsors. We have a lot of listeners, but not any sponsors. Yeah. We're still waiting on that. So.
Well, this week, Six this years. Is going to drop on 2/4, so that means in a couple of days we'll have Night Shine, and we're just hoping and praying that's all going to be great.
It's going to be great. It is going to be great.
It feels like weeks to shine for you, right?
Yeah.
How much work.
But,
yeah,
it is a lot of work and a lot of planning. But so
thank you to
Christy
Rowney and Devana Klein and Amanda Peavy and all the people
that
are putting it together. Yeah.
Pretty awesome team working. And it's so
great.
Fun. I mean,
it
it's
is
just
great.
So fun. The payoff is just
great.
It's going to be a great night. So,
yeah.
Well, today we're going to be kind of doing a summary reflection on your sermon series that we've been going through, Being Strong and Courageous Follow-Up. So any like major things that you want to start out with?
Be strong.
Be strong
and courageous.
Just do it. Yeah. It's so funny, like over the years, like there's been so many different songs that we've sung, like whether like it's been like in like youth choir and kids worship, like that. All these songs always come to mind about be strong and courageous whenever we say it. I mean, I think ultimately, like my overall right now thought is like, yes, be strong and courageous because of who God is. I mean, that's bottom line for me. Like, I can because he is, not because I can. I can because he is and what he's done. So, I mean, because of the gospel, and I think that's what we're trying to, you know, as we go through this, like point to how Jesus is the answer, the reason for all of this. Yeah, that's where I am. That's my ultimate takeaway so far.
Yeah, how is it for you going from New Testament now to Old Testament and just kind of like,
yeah, it's more study. It
people,
actually
yeah.
is more study because, you know, the New Testament, you're talking about a couple decades of and pretty much, you know, I mean, a region, but the customs are all under Roman rule, all those things. I mean, you might delve a little bit into Asian stuff and all that. But like but going back into Joshua, you know, and then everything you need to understand Exodus to understand Joshua.
Yeah.
And so you're just having to refresh yourself. So and sometimes in sermon prep, not so far, not the ones we've done so far, but as we keep going, you know, because I don't know if people know, I kind of work about 2 months ahead. Like, I'm like, OK, I understand all this.
Mm-hmm.
But how is this actually a sermon?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
How do you get up there and talk about things that are relevant? There are people in our church who, if I just got up there, probably even you guys, and just explain stuff, you'd be like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
God's so good. But like,
we're trying to, you know, everybody from the most mature to the like knows nothing in the room at the same time.
And
believer,
two,
non-believer,
two, even though you, the Holy Spirit may help you to make applications on your own, as the teacher, you do feel the responsibility to say, here are some applications from this. So that's
because
been a
we
little
can
challenging.
Misapply too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I really like, I try to bounce back and forth. We went Mark, and that took me more time than I thought it would be. I'll just take the blame. And then Galatians.
Give Jesus all the time he needs.
And then Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I thought I was going to be able to do it a year, and it took me two.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I think a difference, too, is that, I mean, there are narratives in the New Testament, specifically in the Gospels or stories.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But primarily, especially in John, you're
it's
talking
a history
about
book.
It's, yeah, and
yeah.
So you're talking narrative,
yeah.
And so
yeah.
You're having to pull the, like, you're having to teach the story of what's actually going on and then pull out the application in that while not putting application on the text necessarily, which, you know, people,
And if you don't, so like Steve taught this past Sunday, but the Sunday before when I was talking about how they said, just as we obey Moses, will obey you. May only the Lord be with you as he was with Moses. And I was able to like look to Exodus and see what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It helps you understand like what they mean. And so that's just more work.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So yeah. I mean, yeah. I love it. It's great. I truly, I mean, I have a lot of issues, so please, I'm not sound great. But I hear pastors talk about like the struggle to enjoy preaching. Man, I love studying the word. It is worshipful to me to study the word, let it go through my heart first. And I think being ahead helps me with that because I don't feel like I got to figure out how to say this by Sunday, you know. Like, sorry. Yeah. It's like a Steven, my six-year-old. I've been around him a lot with the snow, but, you know, and then just sharing it. I mean, it's just a joy.
So, yeah. That's wonderful. Well, it's been great. I've loved just being there and hearing all about it.
And side note real quick, also, I think we just have to appreciate, isn't it amazing that like the executive pastor of administration, Steve Renna, like is also an incredible teacher.
Word,
he's, you know, like people just, when you know, if you don't, I've never heard him, you don't know, like, because he does it, you know, when he's such a great teacher.
But you too, you're preaching in a couple weeks and, you know, remember the first time you preach, people are like, oh, he can preach. We thought he just sang songs.
Yeah.
Mr. Music Man can preach.
That's awesome. Very gifted people God's on staff.
In our survey we did, you know, like we did a survey. We sent it to like 100 people in the church and probably about half of them filled it out. But, you know, there were some that made comments about me not preaching more. But most of the people were like, it's awesome that we have a bench that is so deep.
That's true. Yeah, that's awesome. Anyway. Even in our life group, I think we have like three chaplains. They'll say stuff, and we're just like, you know,
it's not just the pastors in our church. There's a lot of people we could get up, get up there. And
Absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we've been learning through this series that we aren't Joshua.
Yes.
But that we do still need.
We aren't Joshua.
But we still need strength and courage. So can we like explain that a little bit more? Why? How? How does that work?
Well, I'll explain how we're not Joshua.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you guys can take it from there. We are not Joshua. Like, we don't
can you unpack that?
Yeah. We don't take all the stories of the Bible and say, like, we're just like Joshua. We're just like David. We're just like Abraham. No. Yeah. We're not just like, I'm just not like you, and I'm not just like Justin. Like, the story is not about these people. It's about God and what he's doing. And they happen to be the person that God's showing us what he did through. Yeah. And so we have to be careful that we say everything the way it played out for Joshua will play out exactly that same way for me in some other figurative sense. However, we can learn from examples of the faith. Hebrews 12 talks about that. How we are to have faith, and it is undeniable that our lives lived for the Lord require strength and courage. And you know,
I think a piece of that too is that reading ourselves into the story is how we end up with teaching or beliefs that my promised land is just around the corner. You know, like God's trying to take you to the promised land, and if you just obey and believe, you're going to get there.
People say that and they're just wrong.
But also, like, if you obey and believe, you might get killed for the faith and you might really suffer. And
we don't usually preach those,
you know.
my death is
not in America. I mean, and so I think like that's a way we have to be really careful. Now, like, if you want to talk about the promised land of communion with him and rest in him and his presence and promise in this life, no matter what you face, okay, you have a stronger argument. Right. But so we do have to be really careful not to, you know, read ourselves into the story. But ultimately, that comes from like this big picture view. Like, we have to read all of Scripture in light of the story of Scripture.
Right. Well, Christ himself said, all the Scriptures bear witness about me, right?
Yeah.
So they're pointing to him.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Way to use the Bible. It's so true. But like, so we have to do that. And I think we read a story and we're like, what's in it for me? What is the application for me? Mm-hmm. And we have to read we have to approach Scripture with, first, what is this saying about God? Mm-hmm. Like, what is he revealing about himself? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in Joshua beginning, like, you you can be strong and courageous because of what he's done. Mm-hmm. And if you're just trying to be strong and courageous on your own, you're going to mess it up. Mm-hmm. And I think we see that, you know, throughout the whole scripture, but especially in the Old Testament, we see people doing what's right in their own eyes. You know, when we get to Judges, we'll talk a lot about that. But I think anytime we're just trying to take matters into our own hand, we're going to mess it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trust God.
Well, I loved, I can't remember if it was this past week or the week before, you talked about that, you know, just light of scripture of all of it, that, you know, Joshua, Moses, David, all these people couldn't ultimately fulfill these things, and that's mm-hmm. what Jesus was for. And mm-hmm. so constantly bringing it back to how he fulfilled mm-hmm. What he could only do. And mm-hmm. so I just love that, and it's not always just making it about us, for sure. Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned a quote that God wants us to trust him for prosperity and warns against other definitions of it. So that word prosperity gets mm-hmm. tossed around a lot, mm-hmm. especially in American cultures. So what is he warning us mm-hmm. about?
Yeah, I mean, you can't read the Bible without seeing God's desire to prosper his people. You also can't read the Bible without understanding it's almost always conditioned to obeying his word. Mm-hmm. And so I would pause there and say most of the people who are preaching, you know, if you're going to find your promised land and all that, they're not obeying the word, mm-hmm. you know. And so because I do think when you begin to obey the word, that's what begins to sift through your heart to which you redefine promised land, mm-hmm. you know, if we're going to yeah. use that as allegory. Because the promised land is rest with Christ. I mean, it's yeah. Christ. All the promises of God are yes in him. So I think so first of all, yes, he wants to prosper us. Yes, it's connected to his word. And I think we begin to define prosperity aside from his word. Mm-hmm. And that leaves no room for disappointment. It leaves no room for good theology on suffering.
Yeah.
And it really does lead to not loving our neighbor as ourselves because we're pursuing yeah. our own personal agenda mm-hmm. over the Lord's agenda for us. And that involves the lives of others. You know, when you talk about strength and courage, you know, I mean, I think we personally as leaders, I mean, we need strength and courage from the mm-hmm. Lord. But we recognize that comes from resting in this is his church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about him. And we need to do it the way he said. And if he wants, we think he'll prosper it
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
way we think. But
right.
we recognize he sees what we don't see.
Yeah.
It really does change you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was Charles Stanley, one of his famous quotes. It's like, obey God no matter what and trust him with the consequences.
Yes.
That's not the direct quote. It's a yeah. paraphrase. But mm-hmm. I think that's just...
I like yours better.
Yeah. But that's what it is. I mean, it's just obey him and trust him with the consequences. Like ultimately, even if you face, because of obedience, suffering in this world, like, there is prosperity in the Lord yeah. in that. It does not go unnoticed. It does mm-hmm. not go unseen, mm-hmm. Even if in this world it's not rewarded. And mm-hmm. I think, like, the consequence may be, you know, negative. And,
yeah.
you know, what we would see is negative, but there is so much peace that comes from obeying him,
mm-hmm.
right.
From trusting him, you know, in all times, even when it may cost us.
Yeah.
And I think that sustains you. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's lots of, I think all of us have experienced that in our lives when God, we know, like, it would have been easier, like, in worldly perspective mm-hmm. to disobey or just to be like, I wouldn't even say disobey his word, but like we knew or felt like God was like leading our family or leading us to do something. Mm-hmm. And it may have been easier to be like, nah, we're just going to continue on. Nah. it never works out well for the believer yeah. to go, nah, God. Like, it just never works out. you sound like a goat and you like, you get sacrificed like what?
Oh, that's a great one. Wow. I'm using that in your sermon coming up here.
But I think it's
just, that is a good one.
Like, but it's like, it's
I'm
just.
Steal that if not, Justin. Man, that was.
Like, you just can't. And I think, like, that has to sustain us. Like, mm-hmm. like his presence, like, there's been, I mean, we could go and retell times in our lives that we've experienced that and times, you know, in that has sustained us. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. obedience, you know.
Yeah, we got a call a couple weeks ago about taking in a baby. Mm-hmm. We, just for clarity, you know, our family was a foster family. We adopted two children. Our home closed a year and mm-hmm. a half ago, and we were like, hey, that's it for mm-hmm. a while. Maybe when our kids are older or teenagers, we don't know, but we got too much going on. And we got a call, and it was from someone, a family we administered to, you know, they had asked the state to call us about this baby. And I was like, oh, okay.
Not on the radar.
You know, you start thinking. My first thought was like, well, if we ended up, when we don't know that we'll adopt this baby, I was like, well, I'll be 60, like when mm-hmm. he graduates high school. And man, that's more of my freedom, you know, as I'm older, like that's going to be gone. And then I was like, just thinking about, you know, our house is small, and I was thinking, it's not small, but you know, for nine people, mm-hmm. it feels small. And then I called Christy later, and I was like, well, what do you sense the Lord saying? And she was like, I don't know. I just think it's amazing that this family who we like ministered to, mm-hmm. who aren't even believers, would be like, call the Rosses.
Yeah.
And she was like, I was just thinking the other day about how, like, you know, so it's so easy to want to live like a Niceville family and a Destin family, which mm-hmm. I don't mean that derogatory, but just like experience mm-hmm. life. Yeah. And she's like, but like, that's not what we're called to do. Mm-hmm. Like, we're called mm-hmm. to follow Christ. And so we can't just be like, our lives decisions are going to be patterned around like the way what a Niceville family would right, be, or a Destin family or whoever, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Throw in the blank.
And I think I'm saying all that to say, so we said yes. Mm-hmm. And I think, and that doesn't mean everybody should say yes, you know, because I don't know everybody's situation. But for us, I was really confronted with like, how much am I making decisions now based mm-hmm. on like comfort?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Based on a life I want, you mm-hmm. know, when Christ died for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Jesus died, bro. Like, right?
Like, yeah, I know. Yeah. So, like, I didn't say nah, you know, to God, because I didn't want to be sacrificed like a goat or right. someone, you know. So again, I'm not – now, I think the danger is you hear me say that, and you think I'm saying we should always say yes to any hard thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that.
No, yeah.
But I'm saying I think as a when we talked about adoption a couple years ago as a church, and mm-hmm. we painted some great stories and celebrated some things, I said, you know, I'm not saying everyone should adopt, mm-hmm. but I'm saying more should.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And more of us are not asking the right questions.
Yeah.
And I do think we have to recognize as Americans our tendency to choose comfort mm-hmm. and what you said the world is over just mm-hmm. doing something that's strong and courageous for
right.
Jesus.
Yeah. And so, you know, you count the cost. Like, I think going into that, like, you're counting the cost.
Yeah, it costs a lot.
Yeah, it costs a lot. It really does. And I think ultimately it's like, when we follow Jesus, I mean, he tells us, to, you know, like, that's wise to count the cost. And mm-hmm. I think ultimately when we count the cost, like, when we, like, submit it to him and say, Lord, ultimately, like, the scale is always tipped towards, like, Jesus. Like, Jesus, no matter what the cost, Jesus. Now, there's times when we may count the cost, and with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit working through his word and prayer through others and their wisdom, it may be like, hey, this isn't the right decision, even though this is a great thing. Okay, like, that's right. You're seeking the Lord, like, his spirit is going to lead you, you know, counsel the multitude, all the things, all the things. But like, it's just, you count the cost, and at the end of the day, it's worth it. Like, mm-hmm. Jesus is worth whatever he asks of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, you had to ask the right questions, and you were trying to filter through those questions. And a lot of times we use our comfort questions, mm-hmm. but our fear questions, because mm-hmm. I think we're all driven, mm-hmm. Different
that's
ways.
Right. Good point.
But, I don't know, you know, if you're uncertain about things or you can't control things, like, those are the types of questions that we're asking ourselves when we need to reevaluate those. And so that's really when God can give us the strength and courage that we need to step into something that's, we don't know the future for.
Yeah.
For sure. So this is all, this all points us to Christ. Mm-hmm. How do we avoid missing
Christ?
Christ, and just even, I mean, maybe it's not these huge things, maybe it's little things too.
Yeah. I think the lens through which you read the Bible, I think that, you know, he kind of alluded to it, you're in your promised land. I think that comes from people who their lens is gain.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. Mm. And so the scriptures all bear witness about Jesus. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I think that it has to start there, and you have to say, okay, this is ultimately pointing me to Jesus. That's gain. Death, life with Christ, eternal life with Christ is gain. So I think it's a discipleship issue, in the sense that if we're saved, then we realize Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Mm. And so we approach everything through that lens. And I just think a lot of people are not approaching the Bible through that lens.
Yeah.
And pastors are not teaching it, and life group leaders aren't teaching it through that lens.
Yeah. I think, you stay tethered to him. Like, in a couple of weeks, I preach, it's on Joshua 5, and it's about circumcision. And
you're welcome.
Thanks. I was like, I'm going to make a joke about that. But in the end, it's also about the Passover. Yeah, these two things that we see, like, as foreshadowing of baptism and communion, the two ordinances that we still practice that are meant to keep us tethered to Christ.
Right.
And so even in Joshua, you see, like, these moments of, like, and so you just go to Christ, and we have to stay tethered to Christ in all of this. And I think, that's the root of it. It's just like, in Hebrews, when he says, we fix our eyes on Jesus, you know, I say that verse a lot in leading worship, because it's like, we have to fix our eyes. We have to fix, like, it's not just like we have to look at Jesus. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus as we're going forward. And that's how. So that's how we don't miss it, as we look at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we have a couple questions that come up, life groups or just in passing. So if we have time, we'll get to those. But the first one is, what are angels?
Yeah.
What do they do? Are they just spiritual, or are they physical bodies?
Yeah, so this actually came out of our life group, because we're studying the book of Hebrews, and at the end, at the end of chapter one, like all of chapter one, like, if you've studied the book of Hebrews, much of the structure is Jesus is better than fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. Chapter one, he's superior to angels, and because there is angel worship going on, and so there's a lot of verses, and then it talks about angels, and that they are ministering spirits. That's how chapter one ends, is, are they not ministering spirits, you know, sent out to do what God calls? And then later on in Hebrews, it talks about how, you know, we've ministered to angels unaware. Like, how many of you in serving others have ministered to angels unaware? Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, it came up with a great discussion, like, what are angels? Are they only spiritual? Are they sometimes physical? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where our discussion went. And you know, lots of different thoughts and opinions on that. But I think, ultimately, if you want to know what angels are, they're ministering spirits. They were created. God created them, because he created all things. That's what they are. I mean, could they have physically manifest physically?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they are ultimately spiritual.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's fair. I think there's appearances of messengers, which is the word that we often translate as angel, in the physical presence in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, right? Like, they're appearing, and so there's certainly strong evidence for that. And I think, they're serving. I mean, we have to be aware there's a spiritual battle that is going on. We're a part of. God has given us as his spirit in that battle, but I think we sometimes shy away from talking about that because people become obsessed about that.
Yeah.
I would just say, one, we need to acknowledge the reality of that spiritual battle and that God is using angels on its behalf. I think we need to recognize that we don't become angels. In fact, there's a distinction made between angels and humans, and the angels wishing they understood the redemption that we understand. Mm-hmm. So, like, when we say somebody's an angel in heaven now, that's just not true scripturally. I do think also we just need to be careful about obsessing about the things that are unclear in the Bible that are given to us as a mystery, because God did not intend to make them clear. Specifically, I think it's revealing when we don't obsess about application of the things that are clear, but we do obsess about the thing, understanding the things that are not clear. So
spend some time on the stuff you know you need to do.
Yes. Really. Yes. And it does allude, I mean, there, I think one of the things that maybe in the West particularly that we downplay are the spiritual realities that are going on around us, the unseen things. There are spiritual battles going on around us, that there is this whole thing of the unseen realities that are going on. And so there are battles going on. Mm-hmm. And the angels,
you know how like the angels are possessing the referees and letting Kansas City Chiefs, or is it demons possessing the referees?
I don't know. It depends on who you root for, right?
Right, Chiefs. Stupid, yeah. Stupid Chiefs.
Oh man, we're so.
I don't even have a problem with them, but like,
I
it was clearly a first down twice in a row. Anyway, that was last week. But,
so yeah. Bad. The flopping, sorry. All of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just bad.
Oh. Okay.
He must have angels watching over him.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, our next question is, why are there so many denominations?
Because there are so many opinions.
Yes.
All right, there you go.
It's true. There you go.
Yeah, I actually get asked this question a lot.
Really?
And it's interesting. I've noticed it more and more amongst younger people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That mm-hmm. are pursuing Christ. it's actually, yeah, it's interesting, the kind of new view of it. Yeah, sin.
Mm.
Also, I think God uses it, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think some of it is,
mm-hmm.
is God's desire for there to be different denominations. Lenses to which we read the Bible, mm-hmm. personalities.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in heaven there will not be denominations. We will see clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say that I'm amazed at how God uses his church in spite of all its issues.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're usually just over primarily secondary, what we would say are secondary issues. Not always. I mean, there's different denominations too. But then again, if they're over first issues, then you're like, are they really Christian? But I think, it's mm-hmm. just over time, you know, there's not division, but just disagreement over whether it's method of baptism or soteriology. And I mean, there's just different ways. Mm-hmm. And so, agreed.
I mean, if people are proposing that there would be like one church of like 8,000 to 10,000 people in Niceville, like that would not be the effective way to reach the community for the gospel.
Yeah,
so, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. God definitely can use
that's just like, there's so many answers mm-hmm. to that question.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's good.
Agreed.
All right. Because
people aren't as right as us.
and ironically, other churches in our community, they think the same thing.
I know, right?
I was gonna say, you could even be in the same denomination, but the churches would be so different from each other.
I mean, especially Baptists, you never know truly what you're getting when you if you just land in a town and go to First Baptist Church, that could mean a lot of different things. That's wild.
So many things.
I do think other denominations, maybe it's a little more predictable.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but I think so.
Yeah.
It's probably where there's a lot more of like taking out of the denomination of name, like in church titles, mm-hmm. because then, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because there's confusion. Not to hide who you are, but because people don't know what that means.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's true. Well, this has been a great episode, and who are you guys rooting for?
Are we voting for
the Super Bowl this Sunday?
Eagles, but also I'm just done.
Neither.
With the Chiefs.
Neither.
Yeah, I don't like
neither.
Okay. I was really.
You're gonna
I
watch
was,
it though, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I was really rooting for the Bills.
Kendrick Lamar is the halftime show. Dude, this is like, if there were ever a Super Bowl I wasn't gonna watch, it would probably be this one.
It's just but I don't know. I do like I'm cheering for the Eagles. Because I'm not cheering for the Chiefs, and the Eagles like have a ton of former Georgia players on their team.
Oh, okay.
They, in fact, there's like a joke in Atlanta. They make the joke about how like Atlanta never drafts Georgia Bulldogs, but Philadelphia does. Why?
Oh.
There's a lot of former UGA players on the Eagles.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be nice to see Saquon Barkley.
He's a force. He's actually one of the reasons there's like an NFL renaissance for the running back.
He and Derrick Henry.
They're amazing. So. Props to them.
Yeah. But I mean, all the shade on Mahomes, he's the Michael Jordan of,
that's true.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have any shade on Mahomes. He's playing the system. I mean, they Brady did too, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I won't mind missing the halftime show. I might come to the youth event, you know, just because I don't care about seeing Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Last year I was like, I'm going to slip out. Go see. I think it was
Usher
last year.
They don't show it here.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just depends on who it is.
Probably won't show him.
They will not show. We would definitely have some emails.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I hope your team, whoever that is, wins.
So you hope everybody's team wins.
Yeah, just everybody wins. Everyone wins.
You're all winners.
It's very teacher of you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you guys next.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.